PCMC. I'm Mike Mongeno. I'm joined today by America's sweetheart, Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Oh, thanks.
How are you, JGL?
I'm good. How are you?
Jen, are you a triangle? Because you a cute.
I'm a four townie, I'll tell you that much.
These are references to the new Pixar film.
Turning Red.
Turning Red, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Turning Red.
So good. So good.
Jen, tell us about Turning Red.
It is a masterpiece.
Is it your favorite Pixar movie?
Yeah, hands down, for sure. No questions asked. Yeah, it's definitely my favorite Pixar movie.
How many times? It's only come out, 3 weeks ago at the time of this recording?
Yeah, I think so.
How many times have you watched it?
At least five.
At least five?
Yeah.
Okay. At least five.
At least five.
It means it could be upwards of five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so good?
It just, like, it really captures what it's like to be a 13-year-old girl. Oh, it's so good. It's just perfect. It gets all the, it has the right energy.
Yes.
It takes place in 2002, so it's got the nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. For you.
For me, for sure. Although it's 2 years after I was 13, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I still remember 2002.
Sure. Yeah, you're more of a Pixar stan than I am. Mm-hmm. There are some Pixar movies I've not seen.
Yeah.
Like any of the Cars movies. And there are some Pixar movies that I don't like. I don't really like Finding Nemo. I don't really like The Incredibles. I didn't like Bug's Life.
I didn't really love Bug's Life.
I mean, that was a sophomore slump for everybody.
Yeah.
But I like Pixar in general. And what I was thinking about when I rewatched this film today, it would be my third time. Watch it twice with you.
Mm-hmm.
Once was a plan. The second time I was just with you and you were like, we're gonna put it on, and it was just on.
You bet.
Was that I like that it's got an energy and it's got a style, a cartoony style.
Yeah, it's got like really big anime influence.
Right. Yeah, it's very anime in its facial gestures, like when people are sad, they'll get like the starry eyes
or like if something's really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or cute faces.
Like when the characters are obsessed with a boy band called Four Town. And when she's like, do you remember what real men look like? And she takes out the Tiger Beat magazine and it like glows and they all go, like it's blinding them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun like that.
Oh, that's so good.
And I was thinking like the trailer for Lightyear came out recently, the Buzz Lightyear movie, which I am excited to see.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something uncanny in that trailer where you see a character, not Buzz, but you see another character who's like, I guess from command. They're like on the ground watching Buzz count down as his rocket's about to leave the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the bottom of their face looks perfectly human. Like if you put your hand over their eyes, it'd be that's a human image.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the eyes are round and it's just uncanny. It's like this needs to be all the way CGI human.
Yeah.
Or it needs to be all the way cartoony.
Right.
They've got to make the choice, I think.
Yeah.
And with this, they were like, no, this is cartoony. This is, you could argue that the backgrounds are quote unquote realistic, which is, I don't know what that term even means. But even that is a choice. Like one of my favorite visuals in the movie is when they're at Tyler's party on the roof and they're looking at the skyline of Toronto.
Yeah.
And it's all like iridescent and
pale
blues and pinks and stuff.
They
and
said like, even that was like a tribute to Sailor Moon.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it is a tribute to Sailor Moon.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, when you think about it, it kind of is.
Yeah.
And she finds a cat in Sailor Moon, and she becomes a panda in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Yeah. It's all right there.
So this film was directed by Domi Shi, and it was written by Domi Shi and Julia Cho and Sarah Strecher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good documentary about the making of this film.
Yeah.
On Disney Plus.
We watched it together.
What was that called? What was really great about the documentary is, you know, as a film nerd, I've seen a million behind-the-scenes documentaries. And it's always...
It's called Embracing the Panda, Making Turning Red.
Embracing the Panda. And it's always like images of like the set and like some male director shouting like a general and very militaristic. It's about men, making movies. And this, like, they show the artists at home with their children. Like, it promotes work-life balance.
Right.
It promotes...
Yeah.
I mean, there is a director, but it seems to promote... not an auteurist theory of cinema, but a collaborative theory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very collaborative.
Yeah. I found the behind this documentary as revolutionary as the movie. Movies have always been collaborative. It's just a bullshit way of looking at it that it's not.
Right, right.
But I really love just the way it was just like, and it's mostly women working on this film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy.
For sure. Yeah. I mean... That's why Ricky's here. He's a little distracting.
he was just walking around in circles for 3 hours, and then he just finally sat down.
Yeah. He realized he couldn't get on the bed.
Yeah.
No, I think that's why I love it so much. It's women who are our age making a movie about... young girls at the time that they were young girls. Yeah. I don't know how much of it is actually like, I'm sure a lot of it is based on their experiences.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah,
it's just,
it seems very close to Donnie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I bet a lot of other people's experiences informed
right.
how the other characters,
right.
came to be.
Yeah. It's good. They hit a lot of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Marks.
Yeah.
With like Tamagotchis.
Yes.
And even just, I started watching it today and then I didn't have time to finish it. That's all right. I've already seen it a bunch of times. But even like the way that they dress, I was trying to find pictures and I meant to bring them and I forgot, even though it's a podcast, you guys won't be able to see them. But just to like show you, like no one's made up, like no one has makeup on, which is like a really big thing for teens now.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, Abby's in overalls, which, I mean, I went to a private school, so I wore a uniform 5 days a week. Mm. So I didn't have very many, like, fashionable moments, but I had a good, like, period where overalls were my thing.
Sure.
They're just easy, and they're just so comfy.
But you gotta take your boobies out to pee, right?
If you wear overall, you wear a shirt underneath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know how things work.
All right.
Yeah,
it's not like what's that show of Paris and Nikki? Not Paris and Nikki Hilton. What is
Simple
it?
Life?
Yeah, it's not like that.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what it's like.
Okay. So let's talk about the quote unquote controversy.
The reporter.
Yeah.
Or no, the critic.
Yeah, it's a critic from Cinema Blend, the website.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's dumb, but I also feel like we're treating this guy like he's Adolf Hitler, and he's just a dumb dummy.
Yeah, he was the first dummy to get there. Yeah. Somebody else would have been a dummy.
Yeah.
He just happened to get there first.
His review, it wasn't even scathing. It was just kind of like, I get that it's fun, but is it relatable? It's only relatable to Chinese women who were teenagers in 2002 in Toronto, Canada.
I think the big problem that people had with it is that he said it was exhausting. And it's like, all right.
Yeah. Which is a weird thing to say in a world full of 9-hour Marvel movies.
Right. Exhausting is not a word I would put with this movie.
Yeah, I mean, they ended up taking it down because there was tons of criticism
from
the world and from even the cast of the movie.
Right.
It's just super tone deaf, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
I mean, there were two things wrong with it.
Right.
The first thing wrong with it is that we ask people who are Asian to watch movies with white people in it and, you know, identify all the time. And that's not a problem. And also with art, you can do that. Like, right. That's one of the things art affords you, is you can watch somebody that doesn't have your exact life.
Right.
And be interested in it and probably still see a truth in it that relates to you.
Right. Right.
The second thing, on the other hand, is that 51% of the world can relate to it, because it's right. mostly about a girl becoming a woman.
Right.
More than it's Ricky's got lint on his face and everybody's laughing at him.
And just like, it looks like a little mustache.
Ricky, what the fuck? Will you do anything for attention? I'm so sorry, folks. This is not the episode you deserve with Ricky's hijinks. Oh, Ricky, come on. He's so dumb. He's so stupid. Oh, no. What the hell was I talking about? It's not about, it's not a Chinese movie or a Canadian movie or a 2002 movie.
It's mostly
about women, and you know, some of the things that people got upset about, and this is online, this is not that guy, but this is other people like,
because they were talking about periods.
God
forbid.
Yeah, there's talk about periods. There's talk about pads. They show pads.
Yeah.
She gets horny.
Yeah, somebody said this is the horniest Pixar movie.
Absolutely.
And that is correct.
Yeah. But
but it's so wholesome.
Yeah. You don't see her like masturbating.
Right.
It's sort of sublimated into
just growing up.
Drawing.
Right.
Like, you're right. But if there's like a quote unquote masturbation scene.
Right. Yeah. It's
sort of the scene where she's under her bed drawing.
Right.
But and like giggling. Not even dirty photos. It's like cute guys as mermaids.
Yeah. Which is like very, it's very Tina.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of like, you know, there was that movie a couple years ago. It wasn't really a hit, but about the three little boys with the drone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like little horny little boys is like totally fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But horny little girls is an issue we can't deal with.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just, it's weird. But, you know, outside of that particular quote unquote argument, it seems a lot of people have loved this. You can't find the toys of it. You can't find it seems like Disney didn't care about it, or Disney didn't have a faith in it. So they dropped it on Disney Plus when it should have been a theatrical release. It could have been a big theatrical release.
100%.
And they didn't expect that little movie that they were trying to bury to be a big hit and everyone love it. You know, you've been trying to find stuff and we can't find it anywhere.
Yeah. I just want the one panda.
Yeah. I went into Build-A-Bear yesterday and I was like, do you have Turning Red stuff? And they're like, we might have one left.
Yeah.
We had a couple and they've been going really fast, and then they went and looked and they didn't have one left.
Yeah.
It's because kids love it. People love it.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. It's just so good.
We haven't, if you're not familiar with the film, we haven't actually talked about like really the main plot of it, which is this little girl, Maylin Lee.
Yeah.
She's 13 and she gets horny one day, basically. And then at night she has horny dreams, and then she wakes up and she's a giant red panda.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's a story about friendship and growing up.
Yeah.
You said it too. It's basically like Teen Wolf, but for girls.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a real Teen Wolf. When she's in the bathroom beginning, mm-hmm. it had a real Teen Wolf vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought they were going to do what Teen Wolf does, where the door opens and you, like in Teen Wolf, the door opens and his dad's a wolf too.
Oh.
I was like, oh, they're going to do that, but they didn't. But we do find out shortly thereafter that the mother, all the women in her family turn into red pandas at puberty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's from an ancient, I was going to say curse, but that's not it. It's from an ancient blessing.
Right.
One of their ancestors. Right.
Well, May calls it a curse. She's like, it's a curse, it's a curse. Which again is like, it's such an interesting metaphor for puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give it as a curse.
Well, that's what also like periods are referred to as, the curse.
Yeah.
So.
Like, it's this terrible thing.
Right. Also, a lot of the people that were complaining that there were periods in it were like, you know, how are we going to talk about this with our sons? It wasn't even like concern for their daughters. It was concern for their sons. And it's like,
it's so weird. Just up. Like, so you have an awkward moment.
Right.
And
yeah,
I can't
that's all,
have
yeah.
a movie.
Right.
Just tell them. your son will eventually learn what a period is. Why not use this as an opportunity?
Right.
Like is a, what a, it's something that every person with a vagina deals with, right? Mm-hmm. So that's about half of us. You, if you have a kid that doesn't have a vagina, you can't just explain this?
Also, there was a TikToker who's a mom, and she has a son, and she was like, we had like a really good moment that I never thought about, where when they watched the movie, he asked her, because in the movie, she like pulls out like a bunch of different types of pads, mm-hmm. and the son like didn't realize that there were that many different types. And she was like, well, yeah, because it's, you know, I guess like they just covered like the basics, but she's like, yeah, you need, you know, different products for different.
Yeah, the mother's like, yeah, box, and she's like,
these are for nighttime, these are for daytime, scented, unscented,
yeah.
Which is, I guess growing up mm-hmm. a girl, you wouldn't think that, you know, someone would need that explained, but it's interesting.
It's a weird culture thing. Like, right. I remember, like, even in high school, like, having friends that were females, and like they would, like, if one gave another a pad or a tampon, they would like palm it and hide it.
Yeah, it's always like, super secret.
Right. A boy can't see it.
Right. Even when I went to an all girls school for high school, and even like I was like embarrassed. Like, I never like let anyone know.
Right.
Other girls didn't care because it's an all girls school, and it's like,
don't let anyone know that you. It's not letting anyone know that you pay.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. But I mean, that's why there's this one scene where her mom's dropping her off, and she says something like no one's gonna know. Like, I know this is really awkward, but no one will even notice. Which is like an amazing line that I don't think anyone would really pick up on unless
you've lived it,
because you feel like everyone can tell. Right.
Which, so then that makes the metaphor of turning into a giant
panda. Yeah.
So much more potent, because it's like, yeah, you look like she can't fit anywhere. She's all of a sudden furry and smelly.
Yeah.
She knocks things over. Yep. Like, it's a perfect, like, when you want to be small and shrink, you're now giant.
Right.
And everyone will see you.
Yep. Yeah.
But what's interesting is most people don't have any bad reaction to the panda. Like, when her three best friends see for the first time, they scream.
Right, because they're surprised.
Right, but then, like, there's a girl at school who's like, O-M-G. Yeah. And then everyone else, like, loves it and wants to, which, again, is, like, a lot like Teen Wolf.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everyone wants to be friends with the panda.
Yeah.
See, I have, when I was watching this morning, I was like, you know what? I have my own hot read on this movie.
Yep.
Here it is. I think this movie, and I love it for this, is pro-sex work.
Sure.
And I'm pro-sex work because, it's something that has happened throughout all of history, and if it's consenting adults, and if it's safe and it's not exploiting anybody, then of course it should happen. To raise money to go to the Four Town concert, she starts like letting kids take selfies, or well, not selfies because it's 2002, but let them take pictures with the panda.
Yeah,
and she sells appearances as the panda, and it's like sex work.
Yeah,
and why the hell not?
Yep. Good for her.
She gets the money. She gets to be proud of this thing that she was scared of.
Yeah.
Right? The other kids enjoy it.
Yep.
What's wrong with that?
Yep.
Pro-sex work.
I'm for it.
The line that I think is really, I mean, I was thinking through the eyes of people who will hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The line that really like blew me away, that I was like, whoa, was at the end, after she's decided to stay as the panda and accept her panda ways, she decides to go out with ears and a tail.
Mm-hmm.
She like does it halfway.
Oh yeah, when she says "my panda, my choice."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no. Whoa. People are upset about that. People are also upset that she says "crap" at the beginning.
Really?
Like, all her stuff falls out of her bag, and she's like, "Oh crap!" But it's like kind of low, and I feel like
"crap's a bad word."
I don't know. I mean,
fucking 20 years ago, Ren and Stimpy would be like, "Fuck you, motherfucker!" And this was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
But my panda, my choice, obviously, is riff on My Body, My Choice.
Right.
Which is, you know, something that shouldn't be a fight, that is a fight. Women wanting autonomy over their body, and governments telling women, no.
Yep.
You have to carry a pregnancy to term and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are movies that I think, and I say this as a good liberal, there are movies I think that do try to be political.
Mm-hmm.
There are movies I think are like, we're gonna make a stand here. We're gonna have a position here. Right. And I have no problem with that. I, you know, often I like those things. Yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, first of all, it is something different, and I always like to see something different. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you should do something with your movie. But I don't think that's this movie at all. I don't think they were trying to anger people in this movie.
No.
At all. I think it's Pixar.
It was just like a love story to being 13. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's a love letter to being 13 in the 2000s in Canada. And I not that that's it, but it's just,
yeah.
I don't think it's out to offend. I think it's out.
Personal.
Right. It's out to say, this is my story and this is how I'm telling it.
Right. Yeah. I don't see it as like an overly political movie.
Right. Also, wait, I wanted to get back to her with her friends right after she pandas, but doesn't tell them yet. And she's going through school, and Abby asks her if like she went to the gym because she's smelly.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like a really sweet moment.
And Priya's like, I got you, girl.
Yeah, but it's also like,
and gives her deodorant.
Right, yeah. It's also like a group of the four of them where they're not making a big deal about it, but they're making sure that she knows so that no one else says anything to her. They're not making fun of her for it. They're just like, they're letting her know, and then they're fixing it.
You said something really good when we watched it the first time. You said it's like a Pixar version of Pen 15.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
A lot of it. And I don't know if that's just the Pen 15 was the 2000s.
Yeah. Well, part of it's the 2000s, right?
Right. So it's just like the way you talk to each other.
Yeah. And the pre sort of internet 2.0 world.
Right.
But from a production standpoint, it's women writers and directors and producers and power making stories for them.
Yeah.
We've made huge strides over like the last 20 years in terms of depicting being a young female, growing up as a female,
and
female
accurately.
Friendship.
Yeah, female friendship is big. Yeah, especially when you look at that and you look at like Mean Girls, which didn't that come out in 2002? Or is that later?
So,
which is also a group of four friends, and they're just terrible. Like terrible to each other. Yeah.
2004 that came
out. Oh, okay.
So yeah, same era.
Yeah,
it's they're so nice to each other. They're so and her friends are like her happy place because she has to calm herself to turn back into her human form, and she imagines her supportive friends.
And 100%, that's what it is. If you have a friend that's close to you at that age, like they are, they are the people that you love most.
Yeah.
Which is how she describes it.
Yeah, her friends are Miriam,
Priya,
and Abby. Now, Miriam is my favorite. She's got braces, and she's got like a green beanie on.
Yeah, and two braids.
Yeah, and she's super, like gangly, awkward face, but also like very confident and funny.
Yeah.
And then
her mom doesn't like her.
Miriam's also very strong-willed. She's clearly the leader of their little pack, too.
But Miriam's great.
Yeah, I love Miriam.
No. I was going to talk about Priya.
Okay.
Somebody on TikTok, which I don't know if this is a thing because I am not a baby bat, but someone described Priya as a baby bat, which I guess is like a baby goth. And that's what they're called. And that is adorable. Please tell us if that's right.
Priya's voice by the actress who's the protagonist in Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, she's so good. They also gave Priya a nose ring.
Yeah.
Because the actress has a nose ring.
And then Abby's my least favorite because she screams everything.
I love Abby.
Why do you love Abby?
She does scream everything. She's just like, I don't know.
She's so intense.
She is super intense, but that's what it is. I think that's like truly what it is to be a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah. The first time we see her became a meme because the first time we see her in a sort of anime style, like May comes into the school and she's like, best friend roll call.
Yeah.
And you see all of them and you see Abby and she's pointing at a piece of litter on the ground screaming. And then that's become a meme of her pointing and screaming at shit.
Yep.
And
and Priya's also reading like a Twilight
knockoff. A fake Twilight. Yeah.
Which I guess also goes into like, I guess her like goth.
Her gothy moodiness. Yeah, they're not monolithic. Yeah. They're different, the girls, but they sort of support each other.
Right. And like, what's her name?
Miriam.
Yeah, Miriam's just like, kind of like skater.
Yeah.
The first time you see Miriam, she's like stuffing nachos in her face from a locker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I like Miriam. Miriam's my favorite. There's a fun fan theory about Abby.
Yeah, that she's Boo from Monsters, Inc.
Now, what supports this theory?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's her overall, like, purple. She's got purple overalls and a purple shirt underneath. Right. And she's got, like, flowers on it that like kind of look like Boo's door.
Yeah.
And when May turns into the panda, she's, like, the most excited for it. And she, like, keeps asking her to panda just because she, like, she wants to feel how fluffy it is.
Yeah.
And May would be about the same size and furriness as Sully.
Right. So she, which is heartbreaking.
I support it.
She's remembering Sully when she was a child.
I fully support it.
I support it too. And it's not beyond, I know that's a weird thing that everyone always tries to like connect Pixar movies. Right. But in a cute way, I think it's not beyond them because, you know, they always, this has the stuff that's in all.
Right.
There's the Pizza Planet van.
Always, yeah.
That's in every Pixar movie. There's the Luxo light.
The ball.
Yeah, the yellow, red, and blue ball.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in the sky, there's clearly like, it looks like Andy's bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
The clouds.
Yeah. Stuff. Except for what's his face that plays Ham in Toy Story. He's not in this one.
He's not. John Ratzenberger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's not.
Cheers. He was in everyone before this.
No, I don't think that's right.
You think he stopped being in some?
I think he wasn't in something else, and I don't remember which one. Because now Disney and Pixar are the same. The same animation, except Pixar will be a little bit edgier than, like, Disney proper, I guess. But
yeah,
I can't distinguish them anymore. But no, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in something else.
Oh, okay.
But he isn't in this one either.
Okay, well, you know, it's been a long freaking time.
No, I know.
And I think Pixar is sort of entering a new era.
Yeah.
The sort of head honcho of Pixar and the name most associated with it for the longest time was the director, John Lasseter.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, he was there from the beginning. He directed Toy Story and Toy Story 2. And
right.
He was a big part of the sort of beginning of it.
Yeah.
But then allegations came out against him.
Yep.
And he was ousted.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a different world over there now. Because even though Pixar has always been fun, and people say that if you could go on the Pixar tour, it's the most fun.
Yeah.
It was like mostly men.
Right.
For like a super long time. And like there were stories even just about like it was not a place where women could even feel comfortable.
Right.
And you look at the Embracing Your Panda documentary, and it's like, that's not the case anymore
at
all.
Right, yeah.
Or at least that's, they want to make it not the case.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different era over at Pixar. What was I just watching? Oh, maybe it was In Search of Tomorrow. They were talking about, I always forget that Lucasfilm created what eventually was Pixar.
I thought it was Apple.
No, George Lucas then sold it to Steve Jobs.
Oh. Bananas.
And then I think they renamed it Pixar.
Oh.
But it started off, I think, at Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how ubiquitous it's become. Yeah. Like I remember I saw Toy Story 1 in the theater, and it's amazing. Like the writing is great in that movie.
Right.
And you know, it's like the kind of thing you watch as 5 and like 50 and you're still just as entertained.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how like ubiquitous it is.
Right.
Like I remember when DreamWorks started doing like Shrek movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
People were like, oh, what are they ripping off Pixar? And it's like no one says things like that anymore because it's like, no, this is just what we all do. I do wish there was more 2D kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get that with like you get that more like with stuff like that's not big companies.
Right.
Like the people who did what's that movie we saw about the little girl was a werewolf?
Oh, right. Oh, I don't remember the name of it. It was good, though. It was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
The animation.
But yeah,
that.
But this is just sort of how we do it now, and that's fine. Do you want to talk about the playlists?
Yes. Okay. So I think it was Disney Canada. Oh, the whole thing takes place in Canada also, which like also was one of the original problems, too.
That does nothing for the movie other than...
I know.
It does nothing for the movie. Like, it,
I guess if you're Canadian, maybe you'll notice more. But as Americans, some of the things we were just like, ah, it's fun. Like, her mom has a little moose bobblehead.
Right.
And, like, they have the Canadian flag behind all the pictures.
Right.
And,
I'm not saying it doesn't. It's not. No, it doesn't add anything.
No, no, no.
But it's not like about Canada.
No, I know. Right, right. You don't need to be Canadian to understand it.
I mean, it could be. You could have easily made it nowhere and just made it less specific. Like
right.
You know, the concert at the end takes
in
place
in Toronto.
Yeah, like in a famous place.
But they get it mixed up with Toledo.
Yeah.
Which is fun, because then Abby's just like, what's Toledo?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it was Pixar Canada. No, Disney Canada. That made playlists for each of the girls on Spotify. And I have not been able to stop listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. They all start out with the song from 4Town that they're all singing like throughout the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if we've gotten too much into 4Town.
We didn't talk about 4Town yet.
No, we did a little bit. Okay. But like the thing that all the girls want to do is
go to this 4Town concert.
And it reminds me a little bit of the prom in more saucy teen movies, because it almost represents sex. Like at one point, May is not going to go to the concert, and she even says, "Become women without me."
Yeah,
as if they're going to become women by going to this concert.
Right. Well, they say that throughout.
Yeah.
That the night they go is the night they'll become women.
Yeah.
There's one point where she like imagines it, and it's like a crazy like frat party.
Yeah.
Where they're just like chugging soda.
And he proposes to her.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
So good. It's such a, so. Billie Eilish and her brother wrote the music
For 4Town.
For 4Town. And they have captured boy bands just...
Yeah, it really fits.
Perfectly. Perfectly. It's so good. So they wrote 3 songs for it, which I forget the names of the songs now. But like the hit song, their like big hit song is Nobody Like You. And then there's like a love ballad. And then there's... I think it's supposed to be like their like breakout song.
Yeah
but it's so good.
It really sounds like it's from that era.
Yeah,
not since Du Jour from the Josie and the Pussycats movie.
Yeah,
has there been such a good fake boy band.
Yeah, there's 5 of them, so it's very like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, right?
The mother's like, why are they called 4Town if there's 5 of them? Yeah, and the playlists are like,
They fit the girls' personalities, which are pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, Abby's is all just, like, pretty, like, female-empowered.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam's is all, like, Michelle Branch. And
yeah.
Kind of like baby emo.
Yeah.
They're all kind of, like, yeah. Like, hers is definitely, like, pop emo, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, she's got Avril Lavigne in there.
And, Priya's is like super emo.
Oh, what did I say? I meant to say Priya.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I meant to say Priya.
You said Miriam.
Oh, no.
So what does Miriam have?
I don't know. I haven't figured out Miriam's yet. She's got O-Town, you know, because they're
Which is probably the like where the name came from most of all.
She's got Take On Me. She's got some Jessica Simpson, some Beyonce.
She's
some
just Celine having a fun Dion. Time.
Actually, she's got a lot of girls, too.
Yeah.
Celine Dion, Christina Aguilera, Dolly Parton, Cyndi Lauper.
That's fun.
Yeah. Spice Girls.
Of course.
God, I was a Spice Girls.
Yeah.
They also like all the band members. First of all, there's a website, which is genius.
Yeah.
So if you go to 4down.com, you can see all the guys and their like profiles.
Sure.
So there's Jesse, Taeyong, Robert, Aaron Z, and Aaron T. And Aaron Z and Aaron T are like the ones that only do backup,
right?
Kind of like Lance and Joey.
They're super talented too.
Yeah, she doesn't even bother explaining.
Yeah.
She like goes into everyone's bios and she's like, "They're cool too." but yeah, and then if you click on them, you get like little bios, which is fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
I think Jesse is the one that what's his name? Phineas.
Phineas O'Connor.
Yes.
That's voices.
Yeah, I think it's Jesse. He's the oldest. And he was in art school.
Yes.
It was fun.
She draws May's him as a mermaid. Favorite is Robert, right?
Yeah. And that was another thing that someone on like TikTok pointed out. I mean, she might be taking French. I don't know how. I mean, I know French is big in Canada, but I don't know how big it is in Toronto. But also she could just be taking French just to take French.
Yeah.
But somebody also pointed out that Robert is her favorite and he speaks French and she's taking French, which would check out if I had a favorite boy band member and I could learn their language. I would.
Yeah. There is a subtle, and I don't know how much, I don't know, this is cool, but I also don't know how much we should applaud things like this at this point, mm-hmm. but there is a subtle implication of Priya being homosexual.
Bi.
Or bi.
Yeah.
Oh, well, right, because she likes one of the guys in the band.
Yeah, well. And she likes, what's his name from the...
Oh, the cute boy from the...
Market, which market. Is a real place.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 7-Eleven yeah. for them.
For Canada.
Right, but then we see she seems to have a growing, like, attraction...
To one of the goth girls.
To the goth, yeah, to the, yeah. To the goth girl. And then at one point they're dancing.
Yeah. And May, like, swoops her in to dance with.
Right, and yeah. Abby goes, go, girl. Yeah. Which seems to implicate that yeah. they know that she likes her.
Yeah. They're all, like, cheering her on. Which, also, I don't think you'd hear Abby saying, go, girl, if we didn't have the subtitles on. I've okay. tried. I've tried to hear it, and I can't hear it.
Okay. Yeah. I think this is cool, although I don't know.
Well,
like
somebody
I said, I don't know how much we could, like...
Right.
How many more years can we keep applauding things like this?
Right.
Where it's like, it's in the background, guys, look.
I know.
Do you see the, you know...
Someone said that they also cut it down. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I heard that on TikTok. I haven't heard that from anywhere, wow. like, official. But apparently it was supposed to be, like, a bigger part
oh, really?
Of the story, I think.
Well, we know now that there was a same-sex kiss in Lightyear.
Yeah, that they cut out, or were going to cut
they
out.
They were going to cut out, but then with all the controversy over Disney's support of... The Don't Say Gay yeah. bill that they put it back in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disney right now is looking rough.
Yeah.
Under the reign of Bob Chapek.
He's not doing well. He's not. Yeah. No.
As our friend Mike Fischetti said, go back to Count and catch up, Bob.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a Barks guy who became you, sort of the head.
I mean, yeah. You'd think as a Parks guy, though, he would care.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Humans yeah. visiting his parks.
I know, I
Even
know.
Even if he didn't care about his workers, which Disney famously doesn't, as people are.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of stories of people being unhoused.
Unhoused, food insecure, which are like politically correct ways of saying starving and homeless.
Right. And somebody that I follow that used to be a cast member at Disney was also unhoused.
Mm.
And I don't know how it is in Anaheim, but in Orlando, she said that, like, Disney is their biggest source of employment
in
that
sense.
Area. So, you know, when people come for her in the comments and they were like, well, why didn't you just get a better job? It's like, I...
Right.
What are the better jobs?
And also, like,
they're not looking at much better jobs. Like, this is a $1 billion corporation.
Right. I
like,
work full time right. for the most successful
right.
media company in history. How can they? They can't
right.
pay me something.
Right. But even if you want to continue not caring about your employees, which you should not, as a Parks guy, Chapek, this is to you directly. Don't you care about the people coming in?
Yeah, don't they have LGBTQ weekends?
They don't call it that, but yeah, they do. They won't call putting the flag on their Mickey merchandise Pride. But
what do they call
They have
it?
No problem selling it during right. June.
Right. They don't call it Pride, but it's clearly Pride.
Right.
Yeah, they were getting a little bit better.
Right.
Because, you know, when they had like nightclubs in the 90s, you could get kicked out. Boys dancing with boys could get
yeah.
kicked out. Girls dancing with girls was okay.
Right.
But, like, they would police that.
Right, right.
Which is insane. So you think, like, oh, well, they came far, but it's like...
Yeah.
Now it seems like they're sliding back.
Yeah, they go through, like, weird waves. Because also, they were one of the first, like, really big companies to offer... what would it be called? I guess, like, domestic partner benefits?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, they were, like, protested, and they were just like, ah, we're doing this. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't, they go, they, yeah, there's a lot of ebb and flow with them.
Ugh. Yeah.
But it's real disappointing right now.
I know. Do you have any criticisms of the movie? Anything you don't like?
No. I loved it.
Not
I loved
a single,
every second of yeah. it. I don't have one criticism. I loved every second of it.
Okay.
What? Why? What do you have?
I have some criticisms. This is played as a joke, but May will often hit herself when she's upset.
Oh, yeah.
And the scene, she draws the dirty pictures, and then her mom finds it and thinks it's this boy from the
Well, she does. She draws him.
Right, but she thinks it means that he kissed her, and right. He doesn't even know her.
Right, right.
And she goes and embarrasses her. Yeah, and then, yeah. Like, you see May, and she's, like, looking in the mirror, and she's chastising herself.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, it's all this, like, repression and, yeah. Like, feeling bad about feeling horny.
Right.
And whatever, I get it's a joke. And then she, like, smacks herself. But she does that later on in the film, too, where she's upset at herself. She, like, smacks herself. And I get it's a joke. I don't want to, like, overstate, you know, whatever. But it's, I don't know, I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, self-harm is never good. That's fair.
And from a story point of view, something that I don't like, or I feel like wasn't properly done, was that there's a bully throughout the movie named Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of always a bully, to the point of, like, hate crime. Like, he says to her at his party, he says to her, like, go back to your weird temple and you're a freak. Because May lives in May and her family run a temple and it's like Chinatown. It's Chinatown in Toronto.
Right.
But then when we go to the Four Town concert at the end, we see he's there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, you like Four Town? And he's like embarrassed.
Yeah.
And then they're best friends with him. And it's like, the movie thinks that was enough to, fix his behavior, but I don't think it is.
Right.
I feel like
at first I thought he was bullying her because he liked her.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
You're right. No, you're right.
I mean, there is, like, after he, like, basically calls her weird and stuff, she, like, is super mad. She, like, jumps on him and, like, looks like... And he's scared. This big monster's, like, attacking him.
So yeah, because she pandas. Right. Yeah.
But even that, I don't feel like... wipes clean all the abuse that he's constantly...
Right.
Even before she's a panda, he's constantly... Every time we see him, he's bullying her.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you... Right. No, true. But I don't know if you noticed, but right before he starts insulting her, So he pays for her to come to the party, and that's, like, what gets them over the edge for all the money that they're gonna get to use for the tickets.
Right.
And he's like, hey, get back, because she's like hanging out on the roof with her friends and they're just like really excited that they get to go and they're just like taking a break and enjoying the moment together. And then they realize, so we also forgot like a big point.
What?
Was that they want to, like, her mom, there's a ritual to get rid of the panda.
Yeah.
And it has to happen on a red moon. Mm-hmm. So they get the night of the concert mixed up. And it's supposed to be the night of the red moon and the, what's it called? So she gets really upset because, like, you know, how can she do both?
Right.
And that's when he, like, calls her to come down and she yells at him from the roof.
So she's upset at that point.
Right.
When he calls her.
Right. And then his friends are like, are you going to take that from her?
Right.
So they like, egg him on.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like there was more to be fleshed out with him.
Right. And then you see.
I feel like there's definitely something missing. We're like, is he being bullied and that's why he takes it out on May?
Right. There's something missing. There's like there's like one step missing here.
I know someone said, and I thought maybe it was about Bria, but maybe it's about him, that there was a gay character in the film that they decided to like take out. And someone was like, it'll
appear pretty. That would make so much sense.
I forget who said it. It wasn't Straw Hat Goofy, but I watch a lot of his stuff. But it was another movie guy on TikTok.
Uh-huh.
But they were like, it's going to make a lot of sense when you see it. And it's going to feel like it's really missing. And they should have just, like, they wanted to do it, but Disney said no.
That would make so much sense.
So maybe it was. And even at the end, he's like, his favorite member of Four Town is, I think, one of the Aarons. I think Aaron Z. Yeah, his favorite person is Aaron Z, and even if you look at Tyler, like, he wears the headband like Aaron Z wears, and he, like, is all about, like basketball clothes, which is how Aaron Z dresses, and at the end, he's like, I love you, Aaron!
Right.
Well, I think he says, I love you, man, you know, to keep it straight.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I just Googled it, and I don't want to read any of it, but I'm seeing, like, headlines about this.
Yeah, okay.
From Pop Buzz, is Tyler gay and turning red? You know, in, like, a movie from 30 years ago, just having him at the concert would be an admission of gayness.
Confirmation, yeah.
Like, oh, he's at this concert with his boy band. Oh, he is gay.
Right.
But nowadays, that's not enough.
Right.
And you should also indicate it in a less offensive way if you want to indicate that he's gay.
Right. But I wonder if some of that was like the rewriting or whatever that they had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's more to his story.
Yeah, there definitely is. Because he's sort of everywhere and you don't kind of get really get what their relationship is before all of this.
Right. Even when she does the panda, there's a sign that says specifically no Tyler's.
Yeah.
Like she won't even let him go in the room where she's doing all this.
And he threatened, if she doesn't come to his party, he threatens her by saying, I'll call your mother. But it's like, why would he have her mother's phone number? Were they friends when they were younger? He like has his cell phone, his flip phone, and he's like, I'll call your mother right now.
But he also says that if you come, then everyone will come. So it seems like he doesn't have a lot of friends.
Right. So no, absolutely. Right. And that speaks to, like, when the other kids are like, oh, you're going to take that from her? He gets more angry.
Right. And then at the end, I was like, well, maybe they're playing it off. Like, he doesn't have a lot of friends. Maybe he's, like, jealous and wanted to be with, like, in their friend group.
Maybe. Because
their friendship is so strong.
Then there's something missing, right?
Right. There's something missing.
There's some missing kernel.
Right. But no, you're right. Yeah.
Even if at the concert he said, like, I always wanted to be in your friend group, that would make it all better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little under, it's that part is a little underbaked.
Yeah.
And then after May kind of attacks him, you see his parents yelling at May's parents, and you said, rightly, his parents were there the whole time?
Yeah, they weren't anywhere. Because it's this
crazy party with a panda.
Yeah. And then they're all mad because she attacked him, and it's like, where were you?
Yeah.
They made it seem like a high school party where the parents weren't home, and like that's the kind of party he's throwing.
And then there's a panda. And people then his doing panda rides.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How awesome though would it be like to just like dress up like a red panda and show up at a high school party?
That'd be pretty fun.
You'd be the fucking king.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than those things. Oh, actually, no, there's one big thing I want to talk about. It's not a criticism, but I want to get into it. May's mother, Ming. Yeah. I was thinking today, who do I dislike more, her or Abuela from Encanto?
Well, it's the overbearing. It's the overbearing. Fear.
It's the tradition matters more than who you are.
And it's the fear that, you know, something that you work so hard to maintain is going to be undone.
Right.
With the next generation.
Right. Because every woman goes through every woman in May's family has gone through the ritual and excised their panda.
Right.
So they don't turn into pandas anymore.
Right.
And her saying, I want to keep my panda is like wild to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's...
And also the wanting to protect her.
She's not evil or anything.
No.
It's just like, she seems like the major antagonist of a lot of it. And part of it's not just her, but also Mei Ling's fear of telling her the truth.
Yeah, well, she doesn't want to disappoint. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. At the end, when Mei... the ritual goes wrong. Well, the ritual goes right, but then you see like this other world where you see like you walk through this sort of like mirror and you and your panda are split.
Separating. Yeah.
She decides not to do it and she stays a panda.
Yeah.
And then in the whole ruckus of that, you have to, when you get rid of your panda, you have to like lock it in something. You see that May's mother's locket is like cracking.
Yeah.
And she's getting more and more angry at May. Yeah. And then her thing cracks and she becomes her panda.
Yeah.
And so May had gone to the concert, which is an amazing, very anime scene of May. She doesn't have a ticket, but at this point she doesn't care. She like gallops through the streets and she'll do this thing where she'll gallop as the panda.
Oh, yeah.
And then midair turn into a person. Yeah. And then because she's lighter, she'll be going further, but then she'll land. She'll be a panda again as she lands.
Yeah.
So she figured out this way of like moving very quickly, turning back and forth between human and panda. And then she jumps into the arena from the sky and then lands as a panda. It's really anime. It's very cool. There's a shot, slow motion of her in front of the red moon.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And but then her mother comes after her and it's like a real homage to like Godzilla.
Yeah.
You see like you just hear goosh, goosh and everything shaking.
Yeah.
And the mother's panda is like crazy big. And you just see like the glowing red eyes of it. And that leads to the end, the confrontation. And that's when the mother says, this isn't you. And right. That's what she's like, it is me.
I wonder if that also, like, her mom's panda is the biggest panda out of all of them.
Yeah.
And is that, like, have to do with, like, her being the one? Because they all are still in China, right? All the others.
The ones who come and visit. Her aunties and her grandmother.
Right, her sister. Right, well, yeah, her mom's sisters and her mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she's the first one to leave. She has the biggest fight. Her big fight was over the man that she loves, which is like a really big emotion.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if like that's why hers is the biggest. Like she's had to make the biggest change, but she's also trying to hold on to both worlds.
Right. That's a really good point. I didn't realize until I saw it this morning that May's grandmother has a scar on her face.
Yeah.
And it's from the mother.
Yeah. That's why her mom is so like insistent on doing the ceremony and being there for her and being there with her and helping.
Yeah. And what's cool is May's mother and aunts and grandmother all wear green all the time, which is the opposite of red on the color wheel.
Yeah, it's a complementary color. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like you become the opposite.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, she's a likable character in some regards. Like, the big funny turn is like, she's like, I can't believe May is being so disrespectful, and then like the phone rings and it's her mother and she's like, oh, tell her I'm not here.
Yeah.
And like she's just as scared of her mother as May is of her.
It's very like Mrs. Kim with her mom coming to the wedding. But also Mrs. Kim with Lane.
Yeah, from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Check out our Gilmore Girls episodes up on the feed. Yeah.
Also her dad. They have been killing it with Disney dads.
Her
dad he does not say a lot.
He barely does anything until like his one thing at the end.
But even like, but he comes in with like really like sweet and meaningful, like after everything, after May Panda's for the first time and you know like tensions are high and her mom is just like trying to hold it together but also freaked out. And her mom leaves the room first and, you know, May is crying.
Yeah.
And her dad just like comes in and says, red is a lucky color. And then he just leaves. It's just like.
And he's like got khaki pants with a polo shirt tucked in and sandals with socks.
Yeah.
And he's a nerdy dad.
He's just like, he's just so sweet. Supportive.
Yeah. And at the end he finds, you know, before they do the ritual, he finds a video that she made with her friends of her dancing around as a panda. And he's like, he can see like how happy she is as the panda. And he
shows her and he's like, I like this. I like this side of you.
Yeah. And he says like people have different parts of them and stuff.
Even when her mom is like, even when she's trying to convince her mom to go to the concert, he's the one that's like, maybe we should trust her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very soft spoken, but anything that he says is like, you know, it's really sweet. And And then at the very end, which I have not seen anyone talk about this, there's a post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. It's like super short. And it's just like him in the basement dancing around to Fourth Down, which is super cute.
Mm.
Oh, also his cooking.
Yeah, he's the cook in the family.
It looks delicious.
Yeah, it looks great. And that's very
there's like a whole like cooking show kind of, or what? Oh, was it something different? It reminded me of a cooking show when they first showed it.
Well, I was gonna say it reminds me of Miyazaki films, like where the food always looks really really good.
Oh yeah, the food looks amazing.
Like slow mo images.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
But
it
it's also
so good.
Cute that like that's his role.
Yeah. And he's got like a cute little flower apron, which is adorable.
Yeah. Right.
The dad is so good. The dad's in Encanto. Ugh.
Yeah.
They're killing it. They're killing it with dads.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think is better, this or Encanto?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I don't know.
This is not truly a musical, even though there's
songs. It's not. In.
So it's hard to.
Oh, I wish this was out though when we were making our Disney songs list.
You would have put
Nobody Like You? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one. It's so good. They even do the part where they just like stop singing and they're like talking for a little bit, which is also super big and
Like
in the
band part.
NSYNC did it. Spice Girls did it.
Yeah.
What's her name? Britney Spears did it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
It's such a good detail. There's so many, like, good details.
Right, right.
That aren't,
you
like...
You had to have been there. You had to have been that age at that time.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not all, like, in your face. Like, Tamagotchi's a little bit in your face, but, like, there's a part that I didn't notice until, like, a couple of watches in, where when she's going home, she takes off, like, sticker earrings.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if...
I didn't know what anyone, that was.
I had them before I had my ears pierced.
Yeah.
I mean, she obviously has them probably because she's not allowed to have her ears pierced, mm-hmm. and she took them off because I assume she's not allowed to wear earrings.
Mm, yeah.
But I was like, oh, I feel seen.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Sticker earrings were so big for me.
Unrelatable.
Yeah, right. I love them.
No.
And they were cute. They were like little stars. Yeah. Or like whatever.
It's a very sweet movie. It's a very cute movie. It's one of my favorite Pixars now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my favorite is. It's probably between WALL-E and Inside Out for me.
Inside Out's good.
Yeah, this is really good. And it sort of shows a new direction for them, I think.
Right.
I hope they do more. Well, I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. I want like the straight up grown up Pixar movie that's just like a grown up drama.
Maybe
but
that's
it's just
what,
done that way.
Maybe that's what they're trying for.
Well, I remember we were talking about this on the show when the Soul trailer came out.
Right.
And I was like, oh, but that, like, because the movie just looks like it's about a musician until he dies, or the trailer
right.
does.
Right, right.
So it's like, oh, this is them doing their.
Yeah.
It has not happened yet, but I hope they do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll see how far Lightyear pushes.
I know.
It in
I was
terms
gonna
of
say
action.
Right. I was gonna say Lightyear looks like that's the direction that they're going in.
Have you seen
so far?
The toy leaks of the bad guy?
No.
It's the bad guy from Buzz Lightyear.
Zurg?
Yeah, it's Zurg, but it's like a cooler looking version
that's
of
fun.
Him.
Emperor Zurg. I like that Rex plays a video game on that.
Yeah.
Toy Story 2. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Ah, Pixar.
Yeah, so good.
Well, I think we did it. Do you have any final things you want to tell us about Turning Red?
I don't think so.
Did you ever draw romantic pictures
I'm
about
not
boys?
I'm not good at drawing. I definitely drew my name.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not good at like drawing. She was good at drawing.
She was. She's good at everything.
I know.
She's perfect 13-year-old.
Oh, we didn't talk about the girl with the diabetes patch, which is fun. Fun what representation.
I don't remember that.
It's like super subtle. It's the girl, the OMG girl when she first pandas.
Oh, really?
There's like a thing on her arm.
And it's...
Yeah. I think there's two girls, but that's like the one girl that you notice the most.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I know.
Unrelatable. Who's all that right. for? How? What's the percentage of people have diabetes?
Okay.
How come Iron Man wasn't in this movie?
Oh, boy.
You know, speaking of the whole superhero problem, I was thinking today, Pixar is probably the only big studio that's not just making adaptations and sequels and remakes and cinematic universes, right? Other than like the Cars stuff, right? And like, I guess Lightyear is a spinoff. For the most part, every new Pixar movie is a new idea.
Right.
Which is not true for other major studios.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they are, you're right. They do, yeah.
I mean, obviously there are tropes and themes that will repeat in animation and stuff like that, or films for kids. But they are probably the most unique, you know, tentpole big movies that come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not based on anything. Now, I mean, like everything else, of course, you're rewarded if you know anime and you know things like that. But it's its own story.
Yeah.
Well, this has been PCMC. We come out every Wednesday. You can follow at PCMC Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really use the Twitter. But it's just another way to get this wonderful podcast. We come out every single week. We never fail you.
Nope.
JGL, Jennifer Grace Latrell, America's Sweetheart, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for sharing your enthusiasm for Turning Red with us.
I love it so much.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.